Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Thursday morning, the 6th of August 2020. Plenty of sport happening last night, which is kind of good midweek. Few games in the footy and a few more to come tonight, plus plenty of other stuff happening around the world. Let's start though with last night's win for the Cats. It was the early game and a comfortable 33-point victory for Geelong over North Melbourne.
There it is. Nice performance by the Cats. They do the Kangaroos by 33 points. So up their sixth win of the year.
Meanwhile, this one was hard to watch at times, although the D's will be happy just to get the W. 51-point winners over the Adelaide Crows at the Adelaide Oval.
Siren will sound on a huge victory for Melbourne. Desperately needed 4 points, a little bit of percentage. Keep the Wolves from the door for a week and get their season back on track, Melbourne.
Just to put it into context, they only led by 2 goals at three-quarter time, but kicked away in the last quarter, so D's fans at least will be happy on this Thursday morning. Meanwhile, in the A-League last night, the two teams couldn't be split. 1-1 draw between Wellington and Brisbane, but Scott McDonald continued his magnificent scoring form.
Shea on the move, wandered back heel from Scott McDonald. There was space as well. Scott McDonald! There is the goal! And the opener from the in-form striker. He wins the battle at the former Celtic number nines with a quite special finish.
Plenty to get through on this Thursday morning of the Breakfast Bite, so let's get stuck in.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, the Breakfast Club returns after 6 this morning. Adam Collins will join us from the UK to talk about Ireland's win over England in the one-day international arena, and then also the test match going on at the moment between Pakistan and England, basically running two separate cricket international competitions alongside each other, only a day apart. The early mail before 7 o'clock, Brad Johnson will then join us to talk about Thursday night footy, halfway through this round, of course. Bit of news around the supercars too. It has been postponed, the Darwin round this weekend, the Triple Crown. We'll have a chat to Andrew Van Leeuwen about that from motorsport.com. And then Dylan Scheel after 8 o'clock in the inner sanctum for the Bombers. And Zach Tui, the Cats defender, after their win last night. That's where we might start the Breakfast Bite as well, as Geelong recorded a commanding victory in the end, 13-12-90 to North Melbourne, 9-3-57. They got off to a fast start, the Cats, led by over a couple of goals at halftime, and were never really challenged. North threatening a couple of times late in the third and then in the fourth quarter to make a run. Kicked 3 goals in a row at one stage, but could never really close that gap. But it ended up being a pretty comfortable 33-point win for the Cats, as Graham Myers was the star. He kicked 4, Hawkins kicked 3, and Zach Guthrie hadn't kicked a goal before last night, and he kicked 2. One was a shocker, floated through. The second one, a little bit more traditional from a set shot. Let's have a listen to the Cats coach. Here's Chris Scott. It wasn't all that content after the win.
It was a little bit disappointing. We had a good Geelong contingent in the crowd and thought we could have put on a more exciting spectacle if we had just finished off a little bit better. Sometimes that can be contagious, and maybe there was a little bit of pressure building on the next person that had the shot. But I mean, even early in the third quarter, we had a couple of really easy shots that we missed, and it wasn't until Grant Myers sort of settled things down a little bit that we got a bit more composed. But look, it's going to be a season where I think beggars can't be choosers. We're happy to come away with a win, and I think when we look back on it and say if we converted better, we'd be really happy with the way we played.
The big news out of that game last night on a North Melbourne perspective was, unfortunately, Ben Brown twisted his knee in it. What could have been a nasty incident. Reports are that it's only a medial ligament strain, which might rule him out for the rest of the season anyway, but at least it's not the dreaded ACL. Let's hear from Reece Shaw on Ben Brown.
It was obviously bad enough to keep him out of the game when he went off, but, haven't had much chat with the medical staff at the moment. We'll make sure we get across that as soon as possible, but just hope for the best with Benny. He was really keen to go well, Benny, and against a back line that's played together for a very long time and really well structured and work well together, we needed all the bodies we could, and Ben was certainly a main part of that, without Nick Larkey and Curtis Taylor down there this week. So, yeah, it was really disappointing, and it put us on the back foot a little bit with our rotations, and obviously losing one so early in the game where our tongues were hanging out towards the back end. But I thought the boys again showed great fight, and it's a real credit to the guys that they fought back. But Geelong obviously were too good in the end.
To the later game last night, Melbourne 51-point winners over Adelaide. The final score 13-10-88 to the Crows 5-7-37, despite the margin only being 12 points at three-quarter time. So Melbourne doing well to kick away in the last quarter. But, yeah, they were the upset was on the cards in that third term. Let's hear from Simon Goodwood, who will be happy. Plenty of relief after a big win for the Dees.
Good to get a win. You know, it's good to play some solid footy. It was a pretty contested game. No doubt, you know, Adelaide brought a lot of heat early in the game, and, you know, it was one of those games that was going to be in the balance for a long period. And, you know, to our guys' credit, they fought it out. You know, and as the game went on, it started to open up a bit for us. So, you know, we started to get some real dominance around stoppage and clearance. But, you know, up until that point, it had been a pretty strong game of footy from both teams. Yeah, look, we're continuing to build our game, you know, throughout the season. Right across the year, we've defended quite strongly. You know, if you take out last week, you know, we've been really strong defensively throughout the whole season. So our ability to continue to do that tonight and get that better, and then that gave us opportunities as the game went on. So, you know, it's the game is building for us, but we've still got work to do. You know, we still need to continue to execute fundamentals better. We need to be more disciplined in critical moments, and you know, that's some areas that we just got to keep getting better at.
Two more games to come tonight. Collingwood take on Sydney and Gold Coast take on St Kilda. We'll run through all of the team changes later on in the Breakfast Bite with more footy news. Let's head now to the A-League from last night. As you heard off the top of the show, a one-all draw between Wellington and Brisbane at Hunter Stadium. Here's Brisbane coach Warren Moon on the draw, despite leading for the best part of half an hour and then conceding in the last 10 minutes.
Oh, the result's the result, so it is what it is. We had to absorb a lot of pressure in the second half there. So they're a good side, and they showed that. But we'll take a point. I think it was a fair result in the end, because I think in the first half when we had our moments, we were in control, and we had a couple of good chances where they didn't. So, yeah, but we'll take it.
The Melbourne Victory are back in action on Saturday. Yesterday, Matt Acton, who's the keeper at the moment after Lawrence Thomas departed for Europe, spoke about what they need to improve and what the debrief was like after their disappointing performance against the Central Coast Mariners.
Yeah, it was, mate. I think it was our probably our worst performance we've had in the last sort of three games. I just don't think we really got into the rhythm of the game. You know, the boys... we're just a little bit off. We weren't, you know, doing what we've been doing in the previous two games against Western United and Brisbane Roar. We put in two really good performances, you know, against those two sides. And then, yeah, against the Mariners, yeah, we just weren't up to scratch. And, yeah, we got punished for it late on in the game. Yeah, we spoke as a group after the Mariners game, and we just sort of said that, look, you know, these next two games we got to, you know, really just play for, you know, bring some pride back into the club and things like that. It's about going out there, putting on two really good performances and trying to get some results. You know, we're going out there to try and win the matches and, yeah, trying to finish the season on a positive note.
The bad news continues around the Brisbane Broncos as well in the NRL, with a couple of reports that more players are shopping themselves around to other clubs, which is an extraordinary situation. The pressure continues to build on Anthony Seibold. He must be hanging by an absolute thread. It doesn't help when Darius Boyd, one of the most experienced veterans at the club and one of the iconic figures over the last 10 years at the Broncos, wants to play in a certain position and then has this response to why he's being played at fullback on Fox Sports.
A good question, Block. You have to ask the coach.
he never talked to you about it?
Oh, yeah, we had We've had a few conversations. I'll keep them in-house. But, yeah, like I've wanted to play fullback all year. I still think I'm the best fullback at the club. I think Steve must have thought differently. But at the end of the day, yeah, it was good to get back there. It was good to play back there where I'm really, really comfortable. And I've played most of my career and disappointed not to get the result. But, yeah, I was happy with my first performance there in 12 months. Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's always, knock to the confidence when you have to move positions and things change. But I was really happy with my game on the weekend from a personal point of view, obviously not a team point of view, but it was good to be back there doing what I do best. And like Block said, I was really enjoying my footy playing at fullback.
That is a situation we'll continue to monitor as well. Before we head to the ad break, let's get the latest from the golfing world. Of course, the PGA Championship starting, the first major of the year. We'll have some live scores rolling in this time tomorrow morning. Tiger Woods spoke ahead of the tournament. He hasn't played much this year, but as he says here, he's been playing plenty at home.
Obviously, I haven't played much competitively, but I've been playing a lot at home. So I've been getting plenty of reps that way. Just trying to get my way, back into this part of the season. And this is what I've been gearing up for. We've got a lot of big events starting from here, so looking forward to it. This is going to be a fun test for all of us. The rough is up. The fairways are much more narrow than they were here in 09. And don't ask me for the routing because I'm still getting a little confused with the routing. So still trying to learn that part.
Tiger Woods there speaking yesterday. Plenty to come after the break. Still a cricket from overnight. Rugby, NBA, netball and the rest of your footy news ahead of a couple more games on your Thursday night. It's 16-6.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Walled off, puts up a wild shot, no. And how about Ivica Zubac with the rebound, but throws the outlet away, and the Suns have it. Six to play. Booker, this is for the win. Got it! Wow!
Not quite the same atmosphere with the fake crowd noise in the background when a buzzer beater is hit, but the Suns, 117 yesterday to 115. The Clippers literally throwing the game away after that rebound. Other results in the NBA, the Nets beat the Bucks, the Mavericks beat the Kings, the Pacers beat the Magic, Trailblazers over the Rockets, and Heat beat the Celtics. One live game at the moment, the Utah Jazz. Joe Ingles, of course, the Aussie, part of their lineup. They lead 64-55 at halftime over the Grizzlies. So we'll keep you updated on that score all through the morning. To a little bit of cricket last night, and there was only a little bit of cricket because typical England, half the day was washed out because of rain. They finally got on at Manchester for the first test between England and Pakistan. Pakistan won the toss, chose to bat at stumps on day one. They're 2 for 139. Jofra Archer picking up a wicket.
Gone through him. A couple of short deliveries in his previous over. A fuller delivery this time from Archer does for Abid Ali. That's a ripper.
So Abid Ali out for 16. Shan Masood was the other opener. He's still there on 46. Azhar Ali was out for a duck. LBW bowled Wokes. And Babar Azam is there, not out, 69. One of the good young talents from Pakistan. We saw his work over the Australian summer last summer. So Wokes and Archer, the only wicket takers, 1 for 14, 1 for 23 respectively. Interestingly, England went with the four quicks. Anderson, Broad, Wokes and Archer after a bit of speculation as to which way they'd go. So that's how they landed in the end, 2 for 139 at stumps. Let's head to a bit of rugby union news yesterday. Now, Phil Kearns was revealed as the man who'll be the executive director of the Rugby World Cup bid in 2027, or for 2027. Here's what the former Wallaby had to say about the bid and what it would do for rugby in Australia.
It would be a massive, massive boost. And, for kids to be able to aspire, and I guess at this stage they'd be teenagers or going into their teens, aspiring to be part of a Wallaby side that has a World Cup on its home soil and strives to try and win that World Cup on its home soil would be something special to motivate a whole generation of kids on the way through. It is a massive event, as you say. $7 billion have brought to the Japanese economy. And, in today's COVID environment, we could sure use that right about now. So, Australia's got a long way to rebuild. Australian rugby's got some way to rebuild as well. And a Rugby World Cup here can do both of that.
Phil Kearns there speaking yesterday. Also had his say on the current state of rugby. So they're putting together a World Cup bid. They've got no broadcast deal, no competition structure for next year. And he was part of a number of former captains who voiced their displeasure with the governance in the game within Australia at the moment. Now he's the head of the World Cup bid. This is what he had to say.
Yeah, well, I mean, to start with, we all thought that there was a lot of people in head office, and now there are less people in head office, and so that's a big step, and that's really sad for those people who've lost their jobs. But it was really important to bring the cost of running the game down, so I think that's really good. The talk that Hamish has said about governance is really important, and that's probably our biggest hurdle in the short term moving forward, or that and the broadcast deal. But, you know, I know that in the background, the discussions with New Zealand have been positive, fraught at times, but more positive than negative. And every discussion we have and every time we run on the field with New Zealand, it's fraught, but positive. And so, yeah, there are things happening in the background, and hopefully some announcements soon, like this one around the World Cup and our desire to win this for all the right reasons. I think is really good for us. So there are some really nice green shoots there.
Very interesting times in the world of rugby. Let's head back to the footy with two more games to come tonight. In case you went to bed early last night, just repeating the two results from last night. So pretty comfortable win for Geelong. They won by 33 points over North Melbourne, and Melbourne by 51 points over Adelaide, despite only leading by two goals at three-quarter time. They kicked away in the final quarter. Tonight, Collingwood play Sydney in a twilight fixture, another 5:40 p.m. start up at the Gabba. Plenty of changes for the Pies. Ben Reid, Callum Brown, Jordan Ruffhead and Trey Orozco come into the lineup. Chris Mayne, Darcy Cameron, Mark Keane and Travis Varko have all been omitted. Meanwhile, for the Swans, Dylan Stevens, Jackson Thurlow, Lewis Melican and Sam Wicks into the team. Lewis Taylor omitted, Sam Gray omitted, Ryan Clark omitted. Interestingly, Nick Blakey has been omitted. The new player there for Collingwood is Trey Orozco. Did enjoy yesterday when his mum was on the phone and she said, "Oh, what, is half the team fallen over? I can't believe you're playing." And then he said, "Well, actually, mum, I am." So good fun there with the young debutant. Here's Nathan Buckley on the Pies injuries at the moment.
There's plenty of reasons or excuses, depends which way you want to look at them, that can impact on performance, both good, bad and indifferent. But you know, where things are impacting on us are impacting on other teams as well. No one ever has 100% exposure to their list. There's always going to be players that are either injured or not in form, and that's why you've got a deep list to be able to cover that. And we have not been able to do that well enough.
Meanwhile, in the later game tonight, we will see Gold Coast face St Kilda, the battle of the King Twins. Jeremy Sharp, Sean Lemons come in for the Suns. Darcy McPherson and Pierce Hanley have been omitted. Jeremy Sharp, the debutant there for St Kilda. Ben Long and Dean Kent come back. Shane Savage and Matthew Parker have both been omitted from the lineup. The Saints in hot form at the moment. Let's hear from Stuart Dew on St Kilda.
We felt that we were a little bit off in our intensity, so we'd love to get out of the blocks and start well. Our players are mindful of that, but also the four-day break helps when you've played like that. Not a long time to dwell on it. And we try to move on really quick and look forward to the Saints. They play a good brand of footy and they're going to test us. And we feel like we're really keen to see how we measure up against one of the top teams. You know, if we give them enough room as what we gave GWS on the weekend, then we'll struggle. So we need to make sure that we can, you know, defend really well, but also use the footy well and force them to defend as much as possible. Take our chances, clearly. Our execution was right off last week and hence the margin.
And here's the Suns coach on young Ben King, who'll be playing against his brother. This will be a clash to look forward to for the next 10 years.
Well, he's always looking to improve. We're going to kick it to Ben as much as possible so he kicks more than Max. No. I think, King works really hard on his craft. So, you know, he'd love to have a good game, I'm sure, and have the bragging rights. But it's, you know, it's a great moment for the King family, to be honest. So, you know, when they can't lose tomorrow night, they're one family that'll be happy either way. So, but certainly, you know, Ben's going to be really keen to play well, not only against his brother, but just to bounce back as a footy club. He wants to play his part in that.
There we go. Suns coach Stuart Dew there ahead of tonight's clash against the Saints. Should be a very entertaining evening of football with Collingwood and Sydney and then the Gold Coast facing St Kilda as the footy fest continues. Bit of other news from around the league yesterday. Let's start with John Worsfold on Joe Danaher. We haven't heard an update in a little while.
John, will Joe Danaher play this year?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that because there's so many things that you have to take into account in that regard. So someone asked me weeks ago if I could guarantee it. Well, you know, I don't know. Can you guarantee we'll find a vaccine for COVID-19? I'm not sure. Al's laughing at me. But there's no guarantees in life. We're working really hard with Joey. We're excited about the way he's moving. We were really disappointed when he got that little calf strain. But he's starting to come through that, and he'll be joining in more full training this week, which we're, you know, really pleased to see.
So we're still going to have to wait for Joe Danaher. To Leon Cameron now from the Giants. He spoke about the futures of both Zach Williams and Jeremy Cameron, who are yet to put pen to paper for next year.
My gut tells you, in a short answer, that those two boys will be running around the Giants' colours for another 4 or 5 years. You know, they love the place. You've just seen Zach's return last week. He loves being around the boys, and he, you know, his return last week was really, you know, pleasing. And Jez is just Jez. He just keeps on keeping on. And, you know, what you see during the week is I don't see any reluctance of those guys wanting to explore other avenues because they're fully entrenched in our footy program. We understand there's going to be speculation every year, which is not new for us, but you know, those two guys are, you know, important part of our footy club, and I expect them to be here for a long time.
Leon Cameron also spoke about Callum Ward and what he's dealt with this year in terms of his injuries.
No doubt his last 18 months hasn't been the best for him injury-wise. We all know what's happened. You know, he had probably 10 good years in a row without any injuries, and then it sort of hit all at once. We actually played him 60 or 70 minutes last week against the Swans, just to give him a run around to see how he was going, and you know, he's pulled up really well. So there's no doubt, you know, history speaks that he's in our best 22 when he gets up and running. He needs a little bit of luck with his body.
There we go, Leon Cameron speaking yesterday. That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Thursday morning. Lots of sport and racing to come over the next couple of days. Keep it locked on RSN throughout the morning. We've got the Breakfast Club with Half and Whitey from 6 o'clock after the news. Then from 8:30, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate.